Okay, thank you, Mr. West Tuttle, getting us into that mood. And let's see, we have one person sitting here tonight. If I was standing. Preacher's here, ready. All right. Let's have a moment of prayer. And as thousands come forward to be seated, and let's have a word of prayer. And we want to remember Tish as she continues to get better. We want to remember Nathan. And we want to remember Cindy Edwards and her entire family. They need our prayers, so please be in prayer for Cindy up in Wichita Falls, Texas. And are you from Wichita Falls? Born and reared. Born and bred. No. Now, which one of the schools did you go to high school?
Well, there was just one.
There was just one. Okay. Yeah. All right. They were always a state contender.
They were always a football powerhouse.
Yeah, they were right there with Odessa, Permian, and Wichita Falls High. Yeah. I'm sorry? But now they have another one, don't they?
They had two more.
Two more.
After I graduated.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. All right. So we need to be in prayer for Sharon Light. We need to be in prayer for Bill Hess. And
Paul
and Tyson. And
Heather.
Yeah, pregnant. And what would Billy be to me? My brother-in-law? Yeah, my brother-in-law. And he's going to have a major surgery on both knees. He's got tumors growing in them. And I really like Billy. Some think he's sort of like the family. But I like him. And I remember when we first met, he said, I married into the family like you're getting ready to, so we need to sit down and talk. There are things you need to know. And
And you said, Billy, why didn't we do this 9 months earlier?
Yeah, 9 months earlier. But he's going to have some major surgery, so let's be in prayer for Billy. And okay, let's have a word of prayer and then get into our study. Heavenly Father, last night we looked at the victorious proclamation by Jesus Christ in the subterranean world. Two compartments Jesus Christ went to, Paradise and Tartarus. Tonight, Heavenly Father, we deal with our lives after Jesus Christ rose from the dead, ascended to your right hand, and seated at your right hand. In our life now on the earth to glorify you. And our Savior has made it very clear, we glorify you by bearing much fruit. And so, Father, we pray that your Spirit will lead us. We know that this is a rather dangerous subject. It has been used for law. It's been used for legalism. And so we just pray that your Spirit will enlighten us to the truth and the light, so that we can understand the principle without getting involved in the legalism. Now, Father, we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, now we're ready to look at the fruit basket. We've been talking a lot about bearing fruit now up through verse 8. And so now we need to spend a moment and look at the fruit basket. And first thing we noted last week in closing, that's one of the most common mistakes when talking about fruit bearing. Be careful of paying too much attention to the outward appearance of the fruit as to the inward service and the actions. Even a lot of these things can be portrayed in action of the overt, but they're not a fruit of the Holy Spirit. They're not produced by the Holy Spirit. So we have to be very careful in that respect. And secondly, appearance can often be most deceptive. as many young men and women found out with young other opposite sex. 3, but it must be remembered that all these can be imitated or produced from the flesh. And we saw how two people can witness, two people can give, two people can sing, two people can do all these things, one filled with the Spirit and one not. But if you just look with the human eye, they look like they're doing the same thing, but they're not. And then 4, the first danger of confining our attention to the outward manifestation is to that it can be most deceptive, for often much is done in the energy of the flesh, which gives no glory to God. Then 5, one of the most important principles, it can be a source of discouragement to get that kind of occupation to the overt. There are people who, for various reasons, handicapped, hospitalization, wheelchair, whatever, and they may feel like that they're not involved in the spiritual warfare, but they can be greatly involved in this things that we're looking at. And that brings us to 6 tonight. This is where we left off, the end of 5 last Wednesday evening. So now we come to 6. And by the way, be no class next week. Be at the pastor's conference in Houston. And I'm going to take Judith down with me this time, because a lot of people wanted to see if I was really married and if I just was faking it. And so take my lovely wife and introduce her to some people and put all that to rest, that I am married. And so we will not have class next week. And so, by the way, let me just, you're the people I care so much about. Sunday morning I showed one of the films on 2012. There's a couple of others that I asked Judith about and stuff that are really, really good. Would another one be too much, or would it be okay? On 2012? No. On another subject that we covered at the pre-trib conference. Oh, one of them was the place of Israel and dealing with the Messiah and what the Messiah has not accomplished yet. Because a lot of reasons that a lot of Jews, you know, Jesus didn't do this, Jesus didn't do that, he was supposed to do this, and all these kind of things, and he hasn't done it yet. And so that's one of the reasons they reject Jesus as the Messiah. And so he went through in a very wonderful way just things that the Messiah hasn't done. And there were a few others that were good, but I don't want to do it if it's something that we don't want. Yeah. Okay. Well, I'd like to see y'all have a strong opinion both ways. Good. I didn't either. Yeah, I think so at the church that morning. I think a lot of people. And like I told you, when I saw it on the thing, I went, oh, man. But I sat there and I went, wow, this is very, very good. And he's very good. And so. Yep. Yep. Okay, well, we'll see. And every now and then, I don't want to OD on it. And like at this pastor's conference, there might be one or two. The subject matter of the pastor's conference is the creation. And we'll have a discussions on the, what do they call it, the brief history of the earth and the longevity view of the earth. Is the earth young? Is the earth old? And that'll be discussed and talked about, and not debated so much, but just bandied about. And whether there was the Big Bang, the thing between Genesis 1:1 and 1:2, and those that do not believe in it have a great difficulty with the spiritual warfare, the angelic conflict. They just, when did Satan fall? And the best that they can come up with is that he fell just at the same time or just before Adam and Eve fell, which isn't going to cut it. And so I'm looking forward to see how that's going to how that's going to go. Okay, point six. Let's note a few observations of the fruit that glorifies God the Father. The fruit that glorifies God the Father. And the basic substance, the basic fruit of Christ is Christ-like love. That's the basic fruit. Loving as Jesus Christ loved. It's the new commandment, but it is the basic fruit that glorifies God the Father. Getting right to the heart of the fruit that glorifies the Father is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. That's what glorifies the Father. And we're going to discuss a few other things, but fundamentally this is it. The fruit that glorifies God the Father. This is what I wish they'd write on these stones that they want out in front of courthouses and school books and schoolhouses and all the rest of it, is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So let's just look to refresh ourselves, Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Be sure that we know, have top of our mind what we're dealing with. Galatians chapter 5. Verse 22, but the fruit, singular, of the Spirit is, and then we enumerate them. So here's that singular plural thing again that we have. Here's a singular and a plural, singular and a plural. So here's a singular fruit, and then we have plural of a lot of aspects of that fruit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And I love what he says. Against these things, there is no law. So you can be in slavery and still live in a Spirit-filled life. You don't have to do a lot. You just live in a Spirit-filled life in slavery or in communism or whatever. There's no law against these things. There may be a law against studying the Bible. There may be a law against this or a law against witnessing for Christ. But against these, there is no law. Love, joy, peace, and faithfulness, and kindness, and goodness, and gentleness, and self-control. So these are the fruit that this is the fruit that glorifies God the Father. Now draw your attention again to the nine that are mentioned. Scripture says the fruit of the Spirit that's singular. Why singular when there are nine mentioned? Because once you combine the nine, they form the person of Jesus Christ. Once your life is characterized by all nine, not just one, but by all nine, people will see Jesus Christ. So that's the singular plural concept here. Because once you combine all nine, you have the person of Christ. Once your life is characterized by the combination of the divine nine, you are reflecting Jesus Christ to your world, in your own home, first of all, before your husband and wife and family, in your work world, in your business world, every area of your life. The more that we exemplify the divine nine all at one time, the world is seeing the love and the person of Jesus Christ. He is absent. He is personally face to face with the Father in heaven. So if you're going to see Jesus, if they're going to see Jesus, they're going to see it in you. People where you shop, people where you work, in your home. If they're going to see Jesus Christ, it's going to be by us people. This is a tremendous task put upon us and a wonderful opportunity at the same time. So if people where you work, where you shop, go, if these people are going to see Jesus Christ, people, it's going to be in you because He's not here. He is not here, and He is not going to touch on earth during the whole church age. That's why He comes and meets us in the air, and we're taken off the earth and meet Him in the air. He doesn't even touch the earth then. He does not come to planet earth during the entire church age, even at the very end of it. Not until the end of the tribulation does He come and physically touch earth. So, if they're going to see Jesus Christ, it's going to be through you and I, exemplifying these qualities, these characteristics in our lives. So it'll be through you reflecting the glory of Jesus, reflecting the character of Jesus, reflecting the love of Jesus Christ, the righteousness of Christ, the compassion of Christ. They will not see Jesus outside of whether they see Him in you or not. And always remember, no matter what your spiritual gift, no matter what your limitations may be, physical limitations, mental limitations, all these type of things, you can always live in the power of the Holy Spirit manifesting these fruit. No excuses. I'm not smart enough. I'm not bright enough. I'm not important enough. I don't do this. I don't have that. You walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. And you glorify Jesus Christ from your wheelchair or from your circumstances, whatever. That's what the world's going to see. They're going to hear it. God cares what His love sounds like. God cares what all these things look like. And we could go through each one of these. What do they look like? What do they sound like? Because God cares. And is the way I talk, is the way I act, is the way I do this, and what I talk about and all this, what's important to me, is that the fruit of the Spirit or not? So this becomes the great issue as far as our life is concerned. You can always live in the power of the Holy Spirit, manifesting His fruit, manifesting the character of Christ, doesn't depend on anything else. In addition to the fruit of the Holy Spirit in Galatians 5, let's look at 1 Thessalonians 3. 1 Thessalonians 3. My granddaughter, I picked her up from school today, and one of them, and she's got to memorize two verses out of 1 Thessalonians, and we had fun just talking about them and going over and memorizing them. They have to learn them from the King James, and even the teacher doesn't like that, but that's just the policy. But she says, it just sounds so weird. And so we went through it and worked on it. And kind of talked about what the verse is talking about. That helps to memorize. All right, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, and we want to look at verse 3. 1 Thessalonians 1, 3. Constantly bearing in mind your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the presence of our God and Father. God, so you have really all three members are involved here. But so this is your remember without ceasing, your work of faith and labor. And labor is the word that until it hurts of love, steadfastness, endurance. That's what steadfastness is, endurance of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. It's just a powerful verse. And this is how the world is going to see the person of Jesus Christ and your fruit. Now, this is strong and it's so important. Why do we go on to the work of faith and the labor of love, especially when it becomes taxing on us? Often we don't want to love as Christ loved some people. I just don't want to do spiritual love toward this person. I don't like them. I don't like what they did. I don't like what they said. And they irritate me. They do this. They do that. But that's why it says, look what it says. It says, the labor of love. That's the labor. Labor is until it hurts. You walk in the filling of the Spirit. You continue to walk in the Spirit. You have spiritual love toward them, even when you do not want to. It's easy to love when everything's going well. When we like the person, it's easy to deal in spiritual love. But boy, when we don't, when they've crossed us, when they've hurt us, when they've let us down, that's when you have this idea of labor. Until it hurts, you love them, even when you do not want to. And then the steadfastness or the endurance of hope or confidence in our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, confidence that Jesus Christ is going to call us home is the idea here. This is not our home. We're going to be called home, and that He is going to come one day and set up His kingdom. This seemed to be a primary factor in the church of Thessalonica. This is where he talks about, we hear the sound of the trumpet, and those of the dead in Christ shall rise first, and those of us who are alive are caught up in the air, we join them, and encourage one another with this. And the verses that she had to memorize at the end of the chapter, end of the book, dealt with that, that hope that we have, and that God is going to take us home in Jesus Christ. So this just becomes part of our life, that hope, that confidence that we have that Jesus Christ, that we're going to be taken home in Jesus Christ, in the presence of God the Father. Our God is not just God, He's our Father, personal relationship. So, in summary, it is vital to always remember that the fruit that glorifies God the Father, remember we glorify God the Father when we bear much fruit, the fruit that glorifies God the Father is the outflow of our union with Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. So that's very simply stated. We bear much fruit. God is glorified. We prove ourselves to be His disciples. And how do we do that? We do that by walking by faith in the Spirit, and the fruit of the Holy Spirit outpours from us, and the world will see the person of Jesus Christ, and that glorifies God the Father. Only then will it be authenticated as the fruit which glorifies the Father. I think one of the most beautiful verses hidden in the Minor Prophets expresses the thought behind the fruit that glorifies the Father. If you can see this, it makes it very clear what we're saying when we talk about by faith in the Holy Spirit. Look with me at Hosea chapter 14. There are little jewels all through the Minor Prophets. Habakkuk, the righteous shall live by faith. And now we come to another one in Hosea chapter 14. Hosea chapter 14. Now, I'd like you to look with me at verse 8. This is powerful. Let's see if you see it. O Ephraim, what more have I to do with idols? It is I who answer and look after you. I am the luxuriant cypress. From me comes your fruit. Isn't that powerful? This is it. You don't produce this fruit, people. You don't produce it. I love this verse. This is such a powerful verse. From me comes your fruit. You see it? It's not our fruit. I'll dare any believer to try to take credit for what is not his, but what is from God Himself. From me, that is from God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit comes, originates your fruit. Don't you love it? Our fruit is not ours. It is fruit from God. And what I love here, look at it. It's fruit from God, and yet God Himself calls it your fruit. You see that? This is beautiful. It's from Him, and yet He Himself says it's your fruit. You've allowed me to produce this fruit in you by your faith. I think this verse is just so tremendous. Hosea 14:8. O Ephraim, what more have I to do with idols? It is I who answer and look after you, not those idols. I am the luxurious cypress. From me comes your fruit. So from me, God, the Holy Spirit, namely, comes, originates your fruit. It's your fruit, yet it comes from God the Father. So this, to me, is just so beautiful. This is the fruit that glorifies God the Father, fruit that comes from Him, and yet He calls it your fruit. So this is not my fruit. This is His fruit in reality. This is the fruit of God, fruit of the Holy Spirit. All right, let's look at Philippians chapter 9. I hope you remember that Hosea passage. That just snuck up on me, and I saw it, and I went, whoa, this is great. So let's look at Philippians chapter 1. I looked under the one of my Bible studies, under fruit in the Old Testament. And, you know, this is why I say, I love my job, but you know, I may read 3 hours on something, and find one verse. That just does it. And that makes the whole 3 hours. And I come here and give it, and what it took me, what, probably 1 minute, and I tried to milk it for all I could, reading it 2 or 3 times, and it's over. And my wife said, it takes you that long to figure that out? Mike, what are you doing back there so long? Well, that's the kind of thing. And it just, boy, I just found at it, and wow, it was just, it did everything. All right, let's look at Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, and we want to read verses 9 through 11. Philippians 1, verse 9 through 11. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment. So what does this tell us? This goes back to that statement, and may his word abide in you. Remember, Jesus Christ said, abide in me and my word abides in you. So here we have, and I pray that your love may abound all still more. That means more time in the Spirit, and yet with the more understanding we have, the more it abounds, and more in real knowledge and in all discernment. Real knowledge is truth of doctrine, truth of the word, and all discernment, that's making decisions that we make throughout our life. In verse 10, so that you may approve the things that are excellent in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ. That's the day of the rapture. Okay? Now, what it means by you may approve means you may approve in your own life. I approve in my life of eating ice cream. Therefore, I eat ice cream. See? So you approve of bearing the fruit that glorifies Jesus Christ. You'll do it more and more. That's what the approve means. The things that are excellent. What are excellent? Those things that glorify God. In order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ. Verse 11. Having been filled with the fruit of righteousness. This is a phrase we haven't seen before. The fruit of righteousness, which comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. It's the same thing that John said. You glorify the Father when you bear much fruit. Look what he says here. Through faith, which comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Christ is concerned greatly about the glorification of God. I want to glorify God. It's not by singing so much or just by saying, God be praised or God bless you. But it's when we bear this fruit that God is glorified. And He's glorified through Jesus Christ. So that's why we have to be in the Spirit, goes through Jesus Christ, gives glory to God the Father. So let's just read 9 through 11 one time and then go on. And this I pray that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve the things which are excellent in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness which comes through Jesus Christ to the glory of and praise of God. If there is any love that glorifies the Father, it's the love of Jesus Christ, people. Let's look at the Gospel of John, chapter 13. The Gospel of John, chapter 13. Very familiar passage. Just every now and then, I'd like to bring your memory of it. 34 and 35. A new commandment I give to you, Jesus Christ speaking to us through the disciples, that you love one another, even as I have also loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all, not all men, but all, angel and mankind, will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. All right, let's look at 2 Corinthians 5. Second Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 14. 2 Corinthians 5:14. For the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. Now you'll note that that having concluded comes before the love of Christ controlling us. We allow the love of Christ to control us, having concluded some things about this love. I want this love. This love is a love that sacrifices all. So I want this love. And also in Galatians 5:22, if you're taking notes. Now, one thing we're going to see in chapter 15, verse 11, when we get back there, is going to be joy. It's not by accident, I believe, that in John 15, Jesus Christ is going to go love, joy. I don't think that's any accident that that's the way it's in order of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So if there is any joy, it is the joy of Jesus Christ. And that is through the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:22 and John 15:11. Let's just read John 15:11, getting ready when we get back there. John 15, verse 11. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy, now he just talked about love in verse 10, now verse 11, these things I write to you, I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. So we can have the same happiness, the same joy that Jesus Christ had, because where did he get it? From the Holy Spirit. We can have exact same joy and have it full by being in Jesus Christ. If there is peace, it is peace in him. John, or Galatians 5:22. But let's look at the, John 14:27. 14:27. All these, I'm just showing you, all these through here, Jesus Christ has talked about these fruit of the Spirit. John 14, and let's look at verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. And it doesn't have to be, because of the fruit of the Spirit and the love of the Holy Spirit that is in us. So, it is all his fruit. That's what I want to point out. From me comes your fruit. Hosea 14 again. It's all his fruit. But now, by the grace of God, it can become our fruit. I just love how the Lord worded that. From me comes your fruit. It's my fruit, but I'm going to give you, say that it is yours. So, it's by the grace of God that it becomes our fruit, but it is from him. It is the vine sending forth fruit to the world through the branches. And we're just a branch. We get the privilege of holding that fruit. And that's it. If there is meekness and gentleness, it is meekness and gentleness of Jesus Christ. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 1. Now I, Paul, myself, urge you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. It's his. Meekness and gentleness of Christ. That characterized Christ characterizes us. The love of Christ can be ours. The joy of Christ can be ours. The peace of Christ can be ours. And now the meekness and gentleness of Christ. I who am meek, who when face to face with you, but bold toward you when absent. But the point is that this meekness belongs to Jesus Christ. Also Galatians 5:23, 22 and 23. All right. Take a look at this from the perspective of prepositions. I got this from seminary, but I think it's worthwhile we spend a moment looking at it from the standpoint of prepositions. So let's take a look at this. And what we're going to look at is, in these prepositions, in Christ, well, this one, I'm going to throw this one away because this one just doesn't do any good. Okay. In, and this one I never can open, so I'm in trouble. All right. In Christ is our salvation. In Christ is our salvation. This is our eternal position in Christ. There's the first preposition. With Christ. With Christ is our fellowship. We have fellowship together with him. By Christ, this is the fruit bearing. The fruit bearing is by Christ. for Christ. For Christ is service. We're here to serve Him for Christ. The fruit that glorifies God the Father is Christ manifested through us. All right, let's go back now to our passage in John chapter 15. John chapter 15. John 15, verse 8. By this is my Father, relationship, glorified, that you bear much fruit. And something else happens when you bear much fruit. And so prove to be my disciples. So, first thing that happens when we bear much fruit, God the Father is glorified. Second thing that happens, we prove to be His disciples. All right, the word so is the use of the conjunctive chi, and here it's used in addition to. In addition to. And in addition to glorifying the Father, in addition to that, we prove to be my disciples. So, in addition to glorifying the Father, you're going to demonstrate something else. This you're going to demonstrate about me. We demonstrate something about the Father, He's glorified. We demonstrate something about Jesus Christ, we're His disciples. Now, the verb, prove, and prove to be my disciples, is not in the original manuscripts. It's the future middle of ginomai, G-I-N-O-M-A-I. It means to become. In addition to glorifying the Father, you will become my disciples, future middle. The word disciples is the word mathetes, M-A-T-H-E-T-E-S, mathetes. This comes from the root word to learn. It's the root word for a pupil. One of the unfortunate things to happen in modern movement is the discipleship movement. It is just so disgusting, and how it is abused and hurt so many people trying to control people. Well, these are my disciples. Let's have a, and churches do this. We have a class on Saturday morning. Everybody, my disciples will meet in this room, and his disciples will meet in that room. And we call you, and we check up on you, and all this kind of abusive stuff. It's just a shame. Books are written on discipleship. Churches are built on it. Now, here's what's interesting. This word does not appear in not one of the epistles to the church. The word disciples does not appear. Prove to be my disciples. Not once. And I'm happy. So it just is one of those things that just has gotten out of control. Gotten out of hand. There is nothing to prove that a person is a believer in Jesus Christ or not, but there are several things that will demonstrate that one is under the power and leading of the Holy Spirit. Love of members of the Godhead, loving one another as Christ loved, love of the Word, bearing fruit that glorifies the Father. These will glorify Him. All right, let's move on to verse 9. Chapter 15, verse 9. Yes?
What if the word had been followers?
Followers is probably in the epistles. I'll have to look, but I would imagine it is. Okay, verse 9. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. Okay, so now he goes and brings in love. Now here again, people. Don't go out of context. Context, context, context. Seemingly all at once, Jesus Christ starts talking about love. But, as we will see, This is at the foundation of all fruit bearing, is loving as Christ loved. So it's not out of context. It's right at the basis of the context. It's fundamental to all fruit bearing. The love of the Spirit, or the fruit of the Spirit, is love. Love one another is the new commandment. It's fundamental to fruit bearing, people. You're not going to bear fruit by any other motivation than spiritual love, unless it's in the flesh. But the love is at the foundation of fruit bearing. It's the motivation. God the Holy Spirit, when we're filled with the Spirit. People used to ask me, well, I guess you just think you can go sit in a park bench and do nothing, and that's all we have to do. And I looked at him and I said, yeah, go sit at the park bench. And truly by faith, trust the Holy Spirit. See how long you stay on a park bench. See how long it is before you get a thought. I need to go and write a letter. I need to go and do this. I need to go and help my wife, my husband, this person, that. I need to see how long it is. And where do you think that thought comes from? If you're trusting in His Spirit, it comes from the Holy Spirit. Now, and I always add for fun, I think there'll be one or two that you'll stay on that bench a while. The Holy Spirit has some work to do on you. But most of us, you sit there and He starts leading you to other things. So this is fundamental to fruit bearing, is this love. So the love will be the connection between this paragraph and the next one. Love will now be the subject in verses 9 and 10. Let's read verses 9 and 10. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept the Father's commandments and abide in His love. Look at 12 and 13. This is my commandment. This is my commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. Look at verse 17. This is my command to you, that you love one another. Look at verse 19. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you're not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. So what I'm showing you is that this isn't a change in subject. This is context. Fundamental to all fruit bearing is this love. Now, I want you to note that in verse 7 and 8, three magnificent results of abiding in Him. Look at verse 7 and 8 now of our passage. If you abide in me, my words abide in you. Ask whatever you wish, and it shall be done to you. So the first thing, your prayers will be answered. Will be answered. Will be. Not maybe. Will be answered. Verse 8. By this is my Father glorified. God the Father is glorified if you bear much fruit and abiding in Him. And 3. You demonstrate that you are followers, students of Jesus Christ. Verse 8, glorify the Father that you bear much fruit, and also, indeed, you prove, demonstrate, that you are my disciples. Now, in the next three verses, Jesus Christ names two of the fruit born. In the next three verses, He names two of the fruit that we will bear. Love and joy. See what He's doing? He will name two of the fruit that we will bear. Love and joy. Verse 10, if you keep my commandments and you abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. It is no accident that the first two fruit of the Spirit are mentioned in Galatians 5 are mentioned here. As fruit, fundamental. So we can take that and just continue on with the fruit. Now we start off with that very important adverb of manner or description. Just as, okay? That is that very important adverb, kathos, and that's K-A-T-H-O-S, kathos, just as. And boy, that changes a lot. That changes a lot. The adverb qualifies or gives the manner in which the verb is to be carried out. This is the same adverb, just as used in the new commandment in John 13:34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Okay, what's the old commandment? Love one another as you what? Love yourself. This is changing it. Changes everything now. Love one another as I have loved you, just as. So now, in the old commandment, we think of ourselves. I'm going to treat you as to how I love myself. So you better deal with me on days when I feel pretty proud of myself. Don't deal with me when I'm mad at me. But on days when I feel pretty good, that's how I treat you. But now we no longer think about ourselves. To fulfill the new commandment, we have to think of Him and how He loves me. And that's how I have to love you. And how does He love me when I fail? He still loves. How does He love me when I let Him down? He still loves me. His love doesn't change. It's unconditional. This is how we are to love one another. So this is the beauty of this adverb. And so it's a very important adverb. This adverb sets up and ups the stakes, and like in a poker game, of the new commandment. Instead of loving as you love yourself, you now have to love just as He loved. So when that adverb is put somewhere, it changes everything. 15:9, chapter 15, verse 9. Just as the Father has loved you. Okay, just as the Father. Look back at verse 1. I am in chapter 15, verse 1. And I am of the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Verse 8, you glorify God, my Father is glorified. Now, verse 9, just as. So he's very concerned about the Father, very personal relationship. Just as the Father has loved me. Aorist active indicative of our friend agapao. Our friend agapao. Love. But wait. It's not any love. Just as. And now we're not even involved. Just as the Father has loved me, I have loved you. Now if we go from the new commandment, love one another as I have loved you. Now we add on to that, this point, just as the Father has loved me, I have loved you. You are to love one another in the same manner. So now we have a building on our new commandment principle. So we have here, we have God, the Father, and we have Jesus Christ, and then we have you and one another. Okay? So he said, we are to love one another just as He loves us. Now we learn some more about His love. He loves as God the Father has loved Him, just as. So here we got to put it up here. Just as God the Father has loved me, I've loved you. So we go back to where? Go back to God the Father again. It all ends up with God the Father. Remember how in the Corinthians passage we saw how we'll be transformed into the image of Christ, who is the image of God. How were we created in the image of God? It all goes back to how we started. It's really beautiful how this whole thing, if we just see over and over what's going on. So, just as the Father has loved me, aorist active indicative agapao, I have loved you. You love one another just as I have loved you. Now, it doesn't say that right here, but it does in a few verses coming up. But that's the whole point of this love. So if we know how God the Father loved Jesus Christ, we know how Jesus Christ loved us, that's how we're to love one another. So this is just so beautiful in understanding some more about understanding what love really is. All right, we have a theological problem. We have a theological problem. I used the word theologian with my granddaughter, and she said, what's a theologian? And so I had explained to her what a theologian was, and it just reminded me, I got to be careful with words I use. Can I define them? And before I use them with her, because she just pops back that question on me. All right. But so we have a theological problem. How does Jesus Christ love us? Okay. He could love us just as God the Father loved him. That is, as God the Father is deity, loved him from his deity, Jesus Christ could love us from his deity. Could we do that? No. So we'd be sung, love one another as I have loved you. We can't do it. He could have loved us from his perfect humanity, but we can't do that either. But if we look at down at verse 12, we have a great problem. Verse 12, this is my commandment, that you love one another just as I've loved you. So, how did he love us? And did he love just as God the Father loved, and therefore he loved us that way, and therefore we're supposed to? This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I've loved you. How in the world are we to love one another just as he loved us? That's impossible. He is deity. We are frail humanity. Then when you add, just as the Father has loved me, I have loved you. God the Father's deity. Jesus Christ is deity. But Jesus Christ is also humanity. How could the humanity of Jesus Christ love God the Father just as God the Father loves him? How can he do that from his humanity? He's not deity. How can we love one another as Jesus Christ loved us, if he loved us as God the Father loved him? We're not deity. He's not deity in his humanity. So, how are we going to answer these questions? The answer is the same in both. By the power of the Holy Spirit, people. By the power of the Holy Spirit. God the Holy Spirit is deity. God the Father is deity. Therefore, under the power of the Holy Spirit, the humanity of Jesus Christ can love just as the deity of God the Father loves him. Let me repeat that now. God the Holy Spirit is deity, God the Father is deity. Therefore, under the power of the Holy Spirit, the humanity of Jesus Christ can love just as the deity of God the Father loved him. Continuing, and under the power of the Holy Spirit, we can love one another just as the humanity of Jesus Christ loved us, under the power of the Holy Spirit. This is so important, people, and very few people go through and understand all of this. Oh, I love this Jesus Christ loved. I love God. I love you. People, it's not possible in the flesh. And if you don't know how to be filled with the Spirit, it isn't going to take place. You may think it is. You may have that fuzzy little feeling inside you, and you may be sincere, but it's not real. This is a strict, real problem. How did Jesus Christ love as God the Father in his humanity? And how can we love as Jesus Christ loved? It's impossible without the gift of God the Holy Spirit. He has graciously supplied us with this power. Let's look at Galatians chapter 5 a moment. Galatians 3. Galatians 3, verse 5. Does He, God the Father, who supplies you with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and it isn't works, miracles, it's working power. Works is a participle, miracles is dunamai, and it's working power, not among you, but the preposition is in you. Working power in you. This is a very important verse to have correctly understood. And so he gave us the Holy Spirit to have this power in us to love as God the Father in His deity, love Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ in His humanity, under the power of the Holy Spirit, His deity, loves us, and we therefore can love one another under the power of the Holy Spirit, who is deity, and have that same love. This is just astounding. When you think that we can love just as God the Father loved Jesus Christ. Just as Jesus Christ loved God the Father. Just as Jesus Christ loved us, we can love that same way. We don't want to often. People make us upset. People make us angry. People hurt us. People let us down. People just wear us down. All these things. But people, when you and I reside in the power of the Holy Spirit, we can love just like God the Father loved the Son. That's amazing what God has given us the ability to do. That's just amazing that we, finite man, under total depravity, can love just as God the Father loved the Son. And just as the Son loves the Father, and as the Son loves us, we can love one another that same way. We may not want to, but if we're residing in His Spirit, we can do this. So don't be fooled. God is not impressed with the love of the flesh, no matter how sincere it may be. Is your love the love God is looking for? We've studied how is your faith the faith God is looking for? Is your love the love God is looking for? Because He's not looking for that superficial, sloppy flesh love. He is looking for a love that looks, boy, that looks just like my love. It is my love. It's from my Spirit. It's divine love. And that's the love that He's looking for. He's not looking for flesh love. He's looking for the love that looks just like His love, just like, just as. That's a very important adverb. Just as. So this becomes important. So next week we'll take, or 2 weeks from now we'll take up, just as the Father has loved me, I have loved you. Abide in my love. And then a little bit later He'll tell us to love the way He did. So we'll resume it here 2 weeks from tonight. And next week you can go off in the jungle and I'll come back with my shepherd's staff and pull y'all back in from wherever you are. Okay, any questions? All right, let's close in a word of prayer. Wow, Heavenly Father, this is going to take some thinking. This is going to take some time in prayer. This is going to take some time going over Your Word, that we can love just as You loved, just as Jesus Christ loved. This is boggling. We're human, and we know it. We're not fooled about ourselves. And this adverb, just as, is, wow, how can I do that? And yet You make it possible. What an awesome God You are. How You care about love. For of all Your attributes and all that You are, the only one that is declared is God is love. That's how much You care about it. So, Father, I pray that we'll take the things we've seen tonight, these morsels of bread, let them settle in our souls, think about it, pray about it, go over it and over it, and then live it. bear this love in our life, this fruit of your love in our life, by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.